The Federal Trade Commission recently proposed banning non-compete clauses in employment contracts. Today, we learn more about how that could potentially impact the healthcare industry. It's Monday, February 27th. I'm Jay Carlisle-Larson, and this is Just Healthcare Daily.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Federal Trade Commission issued a proposed rule in January that would ban employers from using non-compete clauses in employment contracts. According to the agency, more than 30 million Americans, or 18% of the workforce, are bound by these agreements, regardless of industry or role. I'm Jay Carlisle-Larson, and this is Just Healthcare Daily. The proposed ban, in its current form, is broad and does not target one industry specifically. However, if it were to go into effect, it could significantly impact the healthcare industry, which has long included NCAs in employment contracts, especially with physicians. On today's episode, we dive into what that ban could ultimately look like and how it could impact the healthcare industry. I'm joined by attorney Stuart Vogelsmeyer. He's Executive Vice President and Chair of the Healthcare and Business Practices at Lashley & Bear, a mid-sized law firm based in St. Louis, Missouri. He told me that while the FTC's current proposed ban is broad, the agency included some pointed questions that could ultimately reshape the healthcare industry.
In the first 215 pages, before we even get to the regulation, the FTC asked some very specific questions on which they're actually seeking public comment. And those questions, I think, really do pertain to industries like healthcare. They asked, should this type of rule apply to executive level people, which could be, you know, hospital CEOs and COOs, but it could be top people on the medical staff as well. So they've asked that question. They also asked a question about whether or not there should be some sort of compensation threshold or compensation cap. In other words, should this rule only apply to folks making under a certain dollar amount? Well, in the context of physicians, it's very possible that a final rule might have some sort of dollar cap on it, and physicians might exceed that. And we get a little guidance from some of the states that have done this. I practice in Missouri and Illinois primarily, and Illinois has a ban on non-competes for people making under $75,000 a year. I think that's a possible compromise, if you will, in this area, whether it's executive level, whether it's compensation, whether it's education level. I think that remains to be seen, but that's a possibility. If there's too much pushback from the industry that says non-competes play a vital role in healthcare, you know, and might say, what is that? How could that mean? From the employer standpoint, it could be that, you know, we've taken a new physician and we've provided them training and education on the actual practice of medicine. And if we've got investments in that, we should be able to protect that investment. That's one argument that's potentially going to be made. And I think when we think about all the other industries that may have the same sort of bias at the executive level or highly compensated level, I think it's really possible that those sorts of cutbacks to a complete ban could appear in a final rule.
We are obviously in an informed but ultimately a speculative space. We've read what the FTC is proposing, but we don't know if and when a ban on non-competes will be implemented. Though this proposed ban doesn't target healthcare exclusively, non-compete agreements have long been part of employer-employee contracts in healthcare. So, though unlikely, if the ban were to go into effect in its current form, how would that shape the healthcare landscape?
Well, you can look at it from probably two points of view. Number one, from the employer side, it's far more likely that they could lose valuable assets. And I hate to use the term asset when we're talking about a physician, but physicians drive the care and drive where the patients are. So from the employer standpoint, I think there is concern that physicians will be able to move too freely in the market, take patient base with them, and have no repercussions, and it makes it difficult to plan. The flip side, which doesn't get talked about too often, at least I haven't seen it, I've been reading a lot the last 6 weeks, is if non-competes for physicians are banned, that's going to open up a whole new world of recruiting for employers in geographic areas. In other words, a physician may not have to leave town or leave the area to switch jobs, and you might have a greater pool of physician candidates out there than you currently do now, because you're always concerned as an employer. Employers always ask the question, are you bound by a non-compete? We don't want to get dragged into your litigation, that sort of thing. So it could have an impact of opening a greater pool of candidates from which hospitals and employers could be recruited.
It's interesting that you bring that up, given that recruitment and retention is obviously a huge deal for health systems at the moment. But in talking to your clients, are they in that somewhat sunnier frame of mind thinking of that particular point, or are they still thinking about the potential negatives?
I think it's probably somewhere in between. One of the features of this regulation that I didn't talk about that is incredibly unique, and it's something we haven't seen very often, is not only are non-competes banned, but existing non-competes would be automatically rescinded, and the employers would be required to give a notice to their employees that the non-compete's been rescinded. Typically, what the government has done in these sorts of situations, way back in the 90s when the START Law came out and new regulations came in, the runway for implementation of those regulations was 2.5 years. Oftentimes, existing relationships are grandfathered in. In other words, okay, there won't be any new non-competes going forward, but if those that exist as of the date the regulation's effective will still run their course. I think one of the things that employers in healthcare are focusing on is marshaling their resources together to provide some significant comments to the FTC along the lines of, if this regulation goes in effect, you can't upset what's already in place, and you've got to be able to keep your existing contracts and existing non-competes in existence. I'm seeing less and less, or I'm only seeing a little of the reaction, which would be, okay, this is going to open the world up for us. I think most people, after they got over their shock, are starting to develop some healthy skepticism about where this is going to ultimately end up.
So over the last several weeks, one item that we've gotten some conflicting opinions on is whether this proposed ban on non-competes would apply to nonprofit organizations. And as you know, many hospitals and health systems are nonprofit. What is your read on whether or not they would be exempt?
Well, my read is from the initial comments that the FTC made in the publication of the rule, they affirmed that at this point in time, Congress hasn't given them the authority under these specific laws to regulate nonprofits in this area. The interesting thing, though, you know, this is a typical lawyer answer. It's kind of a hard maybe. The interesting thing will be, number one, many nonprofit hospital systems have for-profit affiliated entities in which the physicians work. And so you get the question of, well, nonprofits aren't to be regulated by the FTC in this area, but they actually work for a for-profit, and where that may shake out. The other thing is, I would suspect there's going to be some pushback from the nonprofit world to essentially say, you've got to make this perfectly clear, FTC. You had one sentence in 216 pages that said exempt organizations aren't governed by the FTC Act, but you need to make this perfectly clear within the regulation itself that we're exempt. I would say if you asked me today, I'd probably err on the side of saying this isn't going to apply to nonprofits. But as any good lawyer would say, there's going to be arguments depending on the structure of these healthcare systems that may allow for a different interpretation. The other thing that I've been reading in this topic is whether or not this is going to actually prod Congress to act and amend the FTC Act to allow the FTC specifically to regulate nonprofits in this area. One other unique thing that clients are aware of, the antitrust world, and this is part of it, is a complicated world from a regulatory standpoint because the FTC regulates it, but the Department of Justice also has jurisdiction over nonprofits. And one of the, I guess, pieces of advice I've given to clients is just because this regulation may not apply to nonprofits doesn't mean somewhere along the line the Department of Justice, in looking at some bigger picture item like a merger between two systems, might not take into account whether non-competes promote anti-competitive behavior in healthcare. So it's a fascinating, it's a definite maybe, which is what a lot of lawyers are saying. If I had to make a prediction under what exists now, I'd say this regulation does not apply to a specific nonprofit that employs a physician.
With that hard maybe in mind, outside of wanting and seeking more clarity from the FTC, how do you see nonprofit systems working with these for-profit groups in the event that an NCA ban does go into place?
For instance, if you've got a nonprofit system that has a for-profit entity in which the physicians are employed, they might be looking at a restructuring of their relationships with physicians, and depending on how many are involved and how big the system is, moving those physicians to either the hospital entity, which is non-for-profit, or a separate nonprofit, because there's a lot of different structures, probably because there's a lot of different lawyers out there who have different opinions with their clients. But I would think if the nonprofit exemption is clarified, those systems that employ physicians in a for-profit arm are going to look to restructure those relationships as soon as they can.
laws regulating non-compete agreements have really been largely, if not exclusively, dictated by states. As you mentioned, some states already have bans on NCAs already in place. If a ban happens at the federal level, how do you see that impacting state laws?
If this rule takes effect, or some version of this rule takes effect, that issue and those issues are going to be decided in a courtroom, because there's going to be at least some segment of some industry that challenges the federal government, in this case the FTC's even authority to step into something that's always been a state law issue and always been a state to state. As I talked about, Illinois's got some limits. There's three or four states where currently non-competes are banned right now. So you've got that interplay. What some people are predicting is, if this regulation takes effect and the nonprofit world is exempt from this, that state legislatures are going to be considering whether or not they should essentially try to close that gap and make things more level playing field and adopt state regulation of nonprofit non-competes. Some lawyers get excited by this. I would be more concerned that we'll spend, you know, 3, 4, 5 years in litigation over the authority of the FTC to institute this ban through this rule. And we may be, you know, it's 2023, it may be 2026, 2027 before we really know where this is all going to shake out. I would think state governments, and again, depending on the state's political leaning and the industries involved, most states don't like the federal government sticking their nose in something that they feel is their area of authority and their domain. So again, another hard maybe what might come of this. I feel pretty comfortable that there will be one or more lawsuits challenging the FTC's authority.
The public comment period goes until March 20th, and we likely won't know for quite a while what the FTC will ultimately decide. But what should the healthcare industry be watching for? What are you watching for?
I suspect they're going to get literally thousands of comments, and that's going to take a long time. So I tell my clients, and it's kind of on the lines of just calm down. This may be 6 months, this may be 18 months before the FTC ever comes out and makes a decision and issues a final rule. What I think is going to be happening in the meantime, though, is the industry groups, whether it's the big ones like the American Hospital Association or the AMA, or whether it's state-level healthcare associations, I think are going to be providing insight to what the comments that they may have provided. And frankly, there will be lobbyists involved. I would guess the industry groups are going to spend a lot of time trying to get their message across the airways with the hopes of influencing the final outcome. In the short term, if my clients asked me, I had a physician group that I represent the other day asked me, and they're engaging a new physician, and they said, can we put a non-compete in here? And my response to them was, absolutely, as of today, in our jurisdiction, in the jurisdiction where this physician's going to practice, non-competes are enforceable as long as they're reasonable in time and geographic scope. And I would continue to do business as usual right now and include that protection for the employer in the existing contracts and wait patiently.
That was Stuart Vogelsmeyer, Executive Vice President and Chair of the Healthcare and Business Practices at St. Louis, Missouri-based law firm Lashley & Bear. He joined me to talk about the FTC's proposed ban on non-compete agreements and the potential impact a ban could have on the healthcare industry if it's finalized by the agency. The public comment period on that proposal is open through March 20th. This is Gist Healthcare Daily. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, please leave us a rating or a review. It helps other listeners find the program. We'll be back with healthcare business and policy news updates tomorrow, as always, in 10 minutes or less. You can check out more insights on healthcare business and policy news at gisthealthcare.com. You can also get these insights emailed directly to your inbox when you subscribe to our newsletter, The Weekly Gist. The Gist Healthcare Daily Podcast is an independent production of Gist Healthcare, a Kaufman Hall company.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.